I found something this afternoon that I wished I'd have had this morning. It fit in with what I was talking about, and I cut it out. It says the morning congregation is an indication of the popularity of the church. The evening congregation is an indication of the popularity of the pastor. The midweek Bible study attendance is an indication of the popularity of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Great and precious promises to live and reign with Christ. What does it mean to reign? It means to rule, to govern, to have dominion over. And tonight I want to look at some questions. Who will reign? When will they reign? Where will they reign? And over whom will they reign? The Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, gives us a picture of the kingdom of God that will be established upon this earth. We have in Genesis the kingdom, and then its fall, and then on down through the kingdom in abeyance. The kingdom is not in operation today, but the kingdom will be in operation in the future. Christ will return to earth to reign. His reign was prophesied in Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45. These verses are familiar to all of us. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation of it is sure. Now, just to refresh your minds, and you all know this, Nebuchadnezzar had this vision of a great image, head of gold, and all the way down to the feet and the toes, and he had forgotten a dream God gave the dream to Daniel, and also the interpretation. We are down now into the feet, down into the toes. When the Roman Empire, which is pictured by the two legs, we have the division of the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. And after the Roman Empire fell, there was a division of these 10 European nations. And that's where we are now. The next event that will happen will be the stone that crushes the feet of the image and then fills the whole earth. This is Christ and his kingdom. In Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And at the seventh trump, or at the last trump, we were told of that by Paul, the dead in Christ shall rise. And this is all future. None of this has come to pass. No one can scripturally say that the kingdom is in operation now, nor can they say that we are in the kingdom. We are heirs of the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom because our names are written in heaven. But the kingdom is going to come from heaven. Paul affirmed this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 28. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, whom he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted who did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, if we were going through the book of Revelation, this is down at the end of the 20th chapter, at the end of the thousand-year reign. The purpose of this thousand-year reign is the restoration and the restoring and the bringing back of all things as they were originally when God created them, and to subdue all enemies. Death will reign until this point of time. There are people who will die during the 1,000 years. Isaiah, I'm not quite sure of the chapter, but if you look it up in your concordance, you'll find it, where Isaiah says, a child shall die at 100 years, and so on. But it looks like if those who are disobedient, they'll die and then be resurrected later to be judged. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe, I'm not dogmatic on these things, that some could live through the whole period of the 1,000 years if they are faithful unto God. But after the 1,000 years, when everything is subdued, death is destroyed, then God becomes all in all, and there'll be no more death, because Jesus has conquered it, and God will rule, and Jesus will rule together. The apostles expected the kingdom in Acts 1:6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now there are people who believe, and I have talked to many of them when I were in the north, and that movement is strong in the south, but I haven't met anybody, that says that the kingdom was established on the day of Pentecost, and everybody then that comes into the church is in the kingdom. The church is the kingdom. Remember, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. There's a difference between the church and the kingdom. The church will be fulfilled, the members of the bride of Christ will come in, and then we'll go into the kingdom. But this verse disproves that. For right then, they said, now are you going to restore the kingdom at this time? And if the church was the kingdom, why, Jesus could have said, why, yes, just a few days now, and the kingdom will be here. But he said something to them that's altogether different. He said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And at that first church council, and I believe that Peter there gave a key to Bible prophecy that is very important when he said that the purpose of this age, that God's going to call out people for his name, and when that is done, then he's going to come to earth and the Jews are going to be restored and he's going to build again the house of David. Our purpose right now, of course, is to witness and to have the door open for people who want to come into the church and be ready for his coming. Who then will reign with Jesus in the kingdom? Jesus said this in Matthew 19:27-28, when Peter said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here we see again so many places in the Bible that God has a future for Israel. I knew this truth before I ever heard of the Church of God, the restoration of Israel. I preached it, talked about it on the radio. Now that there are more and more people beginning to see it, there was a time when our preachers went all over the country, and this was one of their messages. Our restitution, old restitution heralds have articles after articles, way before Israel ever became a state, when it was controlled by the Turks, that God was going to restore Israel. I often think, what would they think? Now, what would John Anderson, wouldn't he be delighted if he were alive today? He preached that. He preached it here. He preached it in other places. He wrote about it. If he were living today and see all that we see, wouldn't his heart be rejoiced? I think we're a privileged people. We're living down and seeing these things. So Israel, the tribes of Israel are going to have a place in judging, and that word judge is also translated rule. Then in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Here he's speaking of the church, of the believers who have accepted the gospel of the kingdom, who repented and who have been baptized and who have been faithful. Many who have fallen asleep, some will be alive when Jesus comes. And he said, then ye shall sit on my throne and with my, even as I am sat down with my Father on his throne. And in Revelation 5:9-10, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Now I like the Revised Version or the other versions, for the ones that are singing this new song are the angels in heaven. And they say that Jesus died and has redeemed them to God. Us. Not those angels in heaven. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them unto our God a kingdom of priests, and they shall reign on the earth. A promise to the believers. Remember the in that vision, in that chapter, there was no one that could take the book with the seals and open it. And then the Lamb of God appeared. In 1 Corinthians 6:2, Paul said, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world or rule the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest affairs?" There is a great future for the church, for you, for me, and for all the faithful. Now there's something that comes over us to balance it all up that we don't really relish in Romans 8:17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." We like that, don't we? That's great. It's true. Now listen. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." In other words, God is saying, this is all for you, but there's a price to pay. Another place in Timothy, I think it's in Timothy, that Paul reminds the church that if they're going to reign with Christ, they'll also have to suffer with Christ. That's in 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12, when he said, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." And then he said, "If we deny him, he also will deny us." See how all these things, one balances over another. Then when will Christ and his servants reign? Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Somebody told Brother Wattell and I that the throne of David was transported to heaven, and Jesus ascended then to heaven and sat upon the throne of David. But that person that talked to us, he came over to the Bible college one afternoon right after we had had lunch, and wanted to talk to us, and Brother Wattell said, "Well, I'll believe that if you can give me a scripture." But he couldn't. He said, "Brother Wattell," said, "when was it taken to heaven?" But he said, "I can tell you this. The Bible says that Jesus went to heaven and he's sitting on the Father's throne. And he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem." See, all this is clear in the Bible. We don't have to be great scholars to understand it. It's very plain. In 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul said to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Three things here happen at one time: his appearing, the judging, and the kingdom. When he appears, that's when the judgment is going to be. That's when the kingdom is going to be. In Acts 3:19-21, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he," that's God, "shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive or retain until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." The times of restitution is going to begin when Jesus returns. He's going to stay in heaven till God sends him. And this is one thing that God has not revealed to man, the day that this is going to happen, or the hour when this is going to happen. We don't know. He has given us signs, and he said, "You look for these signs, and when you see these signs," and one of those signs is Israel. Remember in Luke, he said, "When you see the fig tree budding and all the trees," there's Israel and all these other nations that are coming to life, "know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh." And I don't know how long it's going to take, I don't know, but it's going to come. Just as God said about Daniel's vision, the interpretation is sure. It is true. Then where will we reign? On the earth. In Psalm 72:8, we shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, in our quarterlies, we had about prayer and Jesus' model prayer, and I saw something that I had never noticed before. I was teaching the lesson, and that is that Jesus said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." You see how that kingdom is connected with the earth. "As it is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the kingdom there again, he's saying, pray for the kingdom on the earth. In Zechariah, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion," and that's another word for Jerusalem, "for I will come and will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." When Jesus comes back, he's going to inherit Judah. And the capital of Judah was Jerusalem. And he mentions Jerusalem. And the subjects then of the kingdom over whom we will reign under Christ and his saints will be Israel as a special people. In Deuteronomy 7:6, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people who are upon the face of the earth." God made a covenant with Israel. In fact, you've heard this many times, and you know this, that God never made any covenants with the Gentiles. Paul said we were without covenant. But also provision was made that if we are baptized into Christ, then we become heirs of Abraham, and we become partakers of this promise. And in Peter calls a church a chosen and a precious people, same as Israel was. In Zechariah 12:10, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And in another place in Zechariah it says, "At that time There shall be a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. We rejoice, and I rejoice, that Israel has been opened, and that the Jews have been able to go back, and they've been able to accomplish many things, but they haven't turned to the Lord. They haven't accepted the Messiah. And some of the Jews that have gone back are atheists. Some have communistic leanings. Some are true Orthodox. Some are not. Even in this country, we have all that mixture. But the day is going to come when they're going to cry out for God to help them, and he will send them the Messiah. In Daniel 7:14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now this is going beyond Israel. All people, all nations, and languages will serve him and will have dominion. And then back to Zechariah again. Zechariah has a lot to say about the last days. And I remember in our Wednesday night meetings when Talva was teaching the minor prophets, we went through Zechariah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I don't look for a great revival in these days. I look for an apostasy. And we have to be careful in the church of God, because we could fall into apostasy. But let us keep true and keep faithful. I don't believe that it's God's purpose to convert the world now. For I find in Acts what I've already said, that his purpose is to call out a people for his name. And then if you read that, it says, then shall the residue of men seek him. I look for a great revival when Jesus returns. And the Spirit of God is poured out upon all people. And we who are faithful will have part. We will be made a kingdom of priests. And a priest is to teach people and to lead people to God. Now, are we ready for this kingdom? We know that the requirements of being ready are very plain in the Bible, that we must believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. We must repent of our sins and be willing to forsake them. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we must then live lives holy and acceptable unto him and be faithful